It's an honor to be here with you all this morning. It's true, I am hailing from the great state of Austin and bring greetings to you. It's nice to come down to Texas every once in a while, you know what I'm saying? Just check in on you, make sure you haven't seceded yet. But it's good to, be a part of the Promised Land family. Pastor Robin really is, he's correct in saying that we are an extension of you all. And he's one of our overseers, and so I meet with Pastor Robin regularly, him and Erica. Can we just give it up for some of the best pastors, Pastor Robin and Erica Steele? Best pastors you're going to find anywhere. Yeah, that's awesome. So anyway, I'm thankful to be here with you. Let's jump into the Word of God together. Habakkuk chapter 3, if you have a Bible with you, turn to Habakkuk. You may have to search the index of your Bible for that one. It starts with an H, ends with a cuck, and it's Habakkuk. That's how that goes. But go ahead and locate that. I want to read to you from Habakkuk chapter 3 and just see what the Lord would speak to us over these next few moments. Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 1 says, this is a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, on Shigionot. So that's a Hebrew word. It's a literary term instructing the singers and musicians how to play this song. I don't know if we'll have time to get into that, but this is a song, by the way. This is a bit of Hebrew poetry, some poetry for you. It's a little bit different than some of the songs you might have read from King David, but it is a song nonetheless. This would have been a song that would have been written for the worship people to sing, the worship team to sing in the temple. So Stephen Furtick's not the only preacher who also writes music. Habakkuk did that long 2,500 years ago. Habakkuk was doing that. And this is a poetry, so it's not meant to be taken literally, but we'll jump into this in a minute. Verse 2 says, Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, he says, remember mercy. And so begins the song. This is really a song about the mercy of God. In verse 3, he says, God came from Taman. The Holy One came from Mount Paran. Now, this isn't meant to be taken literally. God didn't stroll into Jerusalem from Paran. He is talking about an experience. Most scholars believe that Habakkuk had an experience of a powerful storm. And that he saw within that storm, he saw God. He saw a representation of God. So it's really a bit of an analogy. So when he says God came, he means God the storm came from Taman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens. And I would say like the thick clouds that covered the sky this morning in San Marcos, his glory covered the heavens, blocked out the sun. It was gathering over the sky. And his praise filled the earth. And I would add to that, his praise filled the earth like the sound of the rain falling. It is the sound of the rain falling was like the praise of his people here in the valley as Habakkuk is listening to this. His splendor was like the sunrise. In other words, when the lightning flashed, it was like it was the middle of day. Have you ever been in those storms where lightning strikes and you can see everything for a moment? That's what he's talking about. He said his splendor was like the sunrise and his rays or rays of lightning flashed from his hand where his power is hidden. Plague went before him and pestilence followed his steps. In other words, as the storm moved in, some other stuff moved out. That as the storm blew in, it blew out some things. Verse 6 says, he stood and shook the earth. In other words, the rumble of the thunder was so loud that it's like he put his foot down and made the windows of our house begin to rattle. Have you ever had that kind of thunder? It just shakes the whole earth. Well, he stood. This is God, you know, putting his foot down, shaking the earth. He looked and the nations trembled. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. What he means is that there was some flash flooding. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed because the water was rushing and tearing apart bits of these hills. And I like this line right here, but he marches on forever. There's some things that might collapse in your life, but he marches on forever. There's some people that might get elected or might not get elected, but he, people looking nervous, what's he going to talk about? He marches on forever. Don't worry, I'm not going to cause any trouble. I want to get invited back. But he, come on, how many of you know God is a consistent in your life? People may come and go, but he marches on forever. Now, he goes on into verse 7. He says, I saw the tents of Cushan in distress. The dwellings of Midian were in anguish. Cushan and Midian are enemies of Israel. In other words, when God moves in, the devil starts getting nervous. When God moves in, demons start getting squeamish. So God moved in, and I saw the tents of Midian and the dwellings of the tents of Cushan. The dwellings of Midian were in anguish. Now this continues. This song, this hymn, if you will, continues all the way down to verse 16. So I want to jump down to verse 16 where the song ends, and just look at what he says at the end of it. He says, "After all of this, I heard this, and my heart pounded." I don't know. They'll have the lyrics up there on the screen for you, but you may just have to take my word for it. I heard this, he said, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones. My legs trembled. In other words, my knees were knocking. Yet, he says, I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation that is invading us. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation that is invading us. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name right now. We haven't come to be entertained. We haven't come to entertain anybody. We haven't come to be educated. Lord, we've come to be inspired by your word, inspired. Let the Spirit of God come into us. Infuse your word with living spirit. Lord, would you open up our eyes? Let us see Jesus this morning. In the next few moments that we spend together, Lord, may we be transformed by your word and changed into the image of your son. In his name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. I like it. We got an amen section right here. That's awesome. You guys did all right. And you, yeah, you all need to work on it. Habakkuk ends his song with this hope. That the day of calamity, specifically the calamity that we just read about or that he would sing about in the temple, would come on his enemies, on the nation that was invading him. This is pointing back to the whole purpose of the book of Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk starts with Habakkuk complaining to God about this nation that is about to invade them. If you look historically, what's happening right now in the Middle East during the life of Habakkuk is there is a nation that's rising up called the Babylonians. And for the first time in human history, the Babylonians were going to do what no other people group could do, and that is defeat everyone in the known world at that time and collectively hold it all together to rule a very large space under one monarchy. Okay, and that's a big deal. One of the ways that they did that was because they were so brutal. So I don't have time to get into how brutal they were. And it's not G-rated either. So if you want to check it out, you Google what the Babylonians did to people that they captured. It wasn't Disneyland. They were moving across the globe, and literally they conquered everyone else except this tiny little speck on the dot known as Judah. And Habakkuk is in Judah with other members of the Jewish community, and they are watching this storm brew on the horizon of human history. And it's not going to stop, by the way. They are going to be defeated by the Babylonians. The Babylonians are going to carry them away captive. That's happening. That's coming. And Habakkuk, actually, the book of Habakkuk starts with a complaint. Habakkuk, in the first half of the first chapter, it's just Habakkuk whining to God. I know none of you ever do that, but but I would just say it's not even true, actually. The stuff in Habakkuk chapter 1, the first few verses, are not even true. So if you're ever just praying and you're like, Lord, just speak to me, and you just flop your Bible open and it opens to Habakkuk chapter 1, don't read it. That is not from the Lord. Because it says things like, God, I pray to you all the time and you never hear me. That's not true. We know that God hears us. It says things like, violence is happening all around me and you don't even see it. That's not true. God sees what's going on. But what's interesting to me is that even after Habakkuk had shared his complaints with God, and then God speaks to him in chapter 1, clears some things up, and then God brings amazing revelations through chapter 2. And at my church, I spent like 6 months on chapter 2 preaching last year. So that's why you guys go to Promised Land and not City Chapel, because it was in-depth. I thought it was good, but anyway, we were digging into it, and so I'm just going to give you a quick overview. Basically, God says, I do have things under control, I am in charge, and I am doing something. And then Habakkuk has this revelation in chapter 3, this experience that solidifies in his mind that yes, God is in charge. So he goes from chapter 1 saying, God, where are you? There's this storm rising on the horizon of human history. And then in chapter 3, we find that his knees are trembling and he is scared, not at the enemies that are around him, but he is in awe and reverence of the God who is above him. In other words, in just a chapter and a half, God shifted the perspective of Habakkuk so much that he went from fearing the enemies that were around him to standing in awe of the God that was over him. My prayer for you is that over the next 20 minutes, that God, through his word, might so shift your perspective that you walk out of here not just believing that God is the shelter in the time of storm, like we used to sing in the old school. He's not just a shelter in the time of storm, he is the storm. My title today is that my God is the storm. You probably haven't heard that song on K-Love yet, but it's coming. This is Habakkuk kind of worship. It's a little different than Elevation, you know what I'm saying? It's a little bit more hardcore. Because the kind of God you need in a time of anxiety is not necessarily the kind of God you need in a time of peace. And Habakkuk is living in a time of great anxiety. Anybody else living in a time of great anxiety? People don't know if they're going to catch a virus. People don't know if so-and-so is going to invade. People don't know what's going to... And with all of the questions and all of the anxiety, Habakkuk needs a God who won't just emotionally make him feel a little bit better. He doesn't just need a hiding place. He needs a God who will fight for him. He needs a God who will deal with some stuff. Anybody else need a God who maybe is active in your life and not just comforting for you to come to church and feel better and then walk out the doors and hope that somehow God can protect you from the big bad wolf out there? I mean, seriously, my prayer is that you could have it through not just through preaching. I'm not just talking about these moments like while I'm talking. I mean through the presence of God. I mean through worship. I mean through singing about his authority. I mean through prayer. I mean through being in his presence, that you could walk out these doors and with your shoulders back, with your head held high, knowing that God is not just going to protect you from the big bad wolf out there, but that if you have your faith in Jesus, you have by your side the bigger, badder lion of the tribe of Judah literally walking with you. He has overcome. He is in charge. He is sovereign. And he will deal with every enemy in your life. And this is the idea, the shift that happens for Habakkuk. Habakkuk felt like the enemies around him were powerful until he got a real glimpse of who his God was. And so fear is not the problem. You're not going to see in Scripture where God says, do not fear, period. Instead, Scripture always says, fear the Lord. Do not fear these people, but fear God. It doesn't mean to be afraid of God, but because whatever you fear is basically what you say has control or power to radically change your life. So out on my property, we have a 14-acre farm in Buda, and me and my kids, a couple of years ago, we were walking the farm, and my 9-year-old daughter said, Dad, hold up, and we stopped because there was a rather large rattlesnake about 15 feet in front of us, and we experienced fear in that moment. We experienced the fear. It wasn't fear of the Lord. It was fear of that snake, because that snake could radically change my 9-year-old girl's life. could radically change my six-year-old boy's life. It has the power to do that. And so you respect that. And you say, hold on a second, kids, stop right there. And I said, okay, you guys are going to run. I'm going to stay, make sure. But if I don't come back, like call 911 or something, you know. And why? Because I believe that snake can radically change my life. But the truth is, if you're going to walk with your shoulders back, if you're going to walk into this crazy world with the reality that God is the storm, you're going to have to believe that God has the greatest power to radically change your life. That your health is not necessarily related to the CDC, but that God has the power to radically improve your health. That your safety is not necessarily the armed forces, but that God is in charge of your safety. That your security is not your bank account, but that God is in charge. God is greater than all of the things we generally look to. He is the storm. He is the most powerful thing. Came across a meme on Facebook a while back, a little cheesy. It's got a lion there. The devil whispers, you cannot withstand the storm, right? And somebody said, the prayer warrior replies, I am the storm. I read that and I thought, that's a little odd. So I made a few adjustments to it. If you go on to the next slide, sorry for our graphic design department. It's not quite as good as yours, but... because I don't know any prayer warrior that actually says, I am the storm. Real prayer warriors understand the source of strength is God. The source of power is God. The source of income is God. The provider for my family is God. The sustainer of my life is God. The source of my peace is God. The source of my fulfillment. It's not tied to myself. I am not the one who inspires myself, strengthens myself, builds myself up. Paul actually said that when I am weak, then he is strong. And so could it be that God wants you to find your position under his wings? So God is the storm. God is the most powerful factor here. And there's a couple things about the storm that I want to point out today in the next couple of minutes. Number one, the storm is disruptive. The storm of God is disruptive. He's a disruptive God. Once again, you're not going to hear that on K-Love. but it's in Habakkuk's song, which, by the way, okay, fine, I'll get into it. The term, you talked me into it, the term... That starts the beginning of Habakkuk's song. It says that it is on Shigionot. Do you guys see that? That word right there, Shigionot? Shigionot is a literary musical term meaning to scream. Which means that Habakkuk wrote the first screamo worship song. Some of you can get down with that, I can tell. I can tell you'd be okay with that. And honestly... You know, I'm kind of good with it too, because I don't know about you, but four chords in 15 bridges isn't the only kind of worship that Jesus likes. Okay, fine. There's different songs for different seasons. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how many of you are really working out to Waymaker, Miracle Worker? Does that really pump you up? I mean, like, really? I thought the 11 o'clock would be down with me, but okay. It doesn't do it for me. I gotta have a little something else. And in the Bible, it's the same thing, right? You have David, the King David, who wrote his Psalms. He's talking about the deer panting for water, so my soul longeth after thee, you know. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters, right? Player's gonna play, 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 play. Hater's gonna hate, 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 hate. I'm just gonna shake, shake. Okay, that wasn't exactly him, but, you know, it's the same kind of vibe. Shake it off, right? And he did actually shake it off, actually, one time. They were carrying the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, and he literally shook everything off except his underwear. And his wife got upset at him, and he was like, darn, it's 7 a.m. And she's like, I don't know. And anyway, no, you ought to do, okay, I just, some of you got that. From the stage, like, this is a great sermon series idea for you guys, all right? David Swift, right? Songs and songs, like for real. Like I'll come back. I'll preach the shake it off one. Robin can do the calm down one, and I don't know. You can do whichever one you want, Emilio, because it's you and me. We're in charge here. It's all good. Figure it out. no, but there's different psalmists in Scripture because there's different seasons that you go through, and man, some songs were good in 2019 before the pandemic hit. And some level of faith was good in 2019 before the pandemic hit. But how many of you know that, like, you might have to get a little more hardcore when it gets a little bit tougher out here? When it gets a little bit more unpopular to be a Christian, you might have to get a little more hardcore. When it's a little less socially acceptable to believe in a God you can't see, taste, touch, or smell, you might have to change the station a little bit and go from the deer panting to the storm raging kind of song. It's a disruptive kind of song. And I don't mean that it's disruptive in a negative way. I mean that the storm of God, the mercy of God, will come in and disrupt the plans the enemy has for your life. He says the tents of Cushan and the fields of Midian are in distress. In other words, I need a God who can come in and break up some stuff in my life that I can't deal with on my own. There's an enemy that's bigger than me, but there's a God that's bigger than my enemy. And so I need a God that can come in and disrupt the plans, cancel the assignments, reroute the demonic forces, scramble the messages between the enemy, and do something on my behalf. This is the kind of God that we serve. He's not just there to hold your hand and help you feel better. He will go to bat for you. He will go to war for you. He will stand up for his kids. He will fight for his people. My God is a storm. Devil talking about a storm? No, the devil is scared to death that God's people will finally realize how powerful God is. And whenever we do that, we realize that he comes to take out not just easy stuff. Well, I'm smoking less and cussing less. No, I mean, he comes in to do big stuff. Some of you are like, you're not supposed to cuss. Is this the thing? Nobody told me this. That's in 101. You'll figure that out later. But the God that we serve, like, he says that he takes out age-old mountains. Like, there's some mountains that were in your life before you even were born. In your family, some generational mountains that your parents, grandparents, great-grandparents laid the foundations of, and they've been adding to it and adding to it. And alcoholism was there long before you even got there. And by the time you got there, it was a mountain. And depression was there long before you got there. It was a mountain. But the God we serve is the kind of God that has the ability within one generation to end generational curses, within one moment to end age-old issues. I mean old issues, anger issues that go way, way back. God can deal with impatience that go way, way back. And not just in your life, but in your country. Like in our country, you know, racism didn't pop up 11 months ago. You know that, right? It's an age-old issue. But the church has the answer to these age-old issues, and it is the manifest presence of God. It is the God who's able to disrupt age-old issues and old barriers and old strongholds that the enemy has retreated to, has attacked you from and retreated to for years. This is why Christianity is not behavior modification. It's not you learning to do better and think better. It's you coming under the God who is so powerful that when he rains down on you, certain things start washing away and getting taken away with the current of his presence, of his power. Come on, even in this last year, how many of you noticed some negative influences started just kind of going downstream a little bit? Even with COVID-19 and what a disruption that was, right? But isn't it amazing how God can use disruption to get rid of some people that didn't even need to be in your life in the first place? Get rid of some stuff that didn't need to be in your life in the first place. And he's washing some age-old addictions and ways of thinking and attitudes. He's the divine agitator. You know, like in a washing machine, you got that big old thing that's an agitator. Why is that? Well, because some stains, you're not going to sing them away. They only come out with agitation. And so sometimes if you're going to follow God, he's going to agitate you a little bit. But it's not always the devil attacking you. Everything that makes you uncomfortable is not Satan. It may be God. This is a good time to not look at your spouse, to just look straight ahead, to just focus. It's the pastor. He said it, not me, honey. I was just agreeing with him. No, it's not the time. There's certain times to agree, and there's other times to keep your mouth shut. Good job, husbands. Nobody said anything. But sometimes God will even use your spouse. God will use your wife to let you know your attitude stinks. Woo, okay, and that's not comfortable either. And we say, the devil's beating up on me. My wife just keeps complaining about it. Maybe she's, Maybe she's God's little agitator. He's stuck right there with you in the middle of life's troubles to help make you more like Christ. Maybe your toddler is actually a plant. It's a Holy Spirit plant to agitate you and let you see how you really react when you're tired, to let you see what you really think. Come on. You can be nice in church, but you get around a toddler in the middle of the, after a long, hard day, and you just want to sit down and watch some TV, and then you find out if you really like Christ or not. Married couples, get some kids. Figure that one out. And God will use it, though. God does this all the time. Jesus steps into the New Testament. He's agitating people all the time, which is why they crucified him. Because he wasn't content with the messed up system that they had, so he came in to start busting it up. And they loved their system more than they loved their Savior. But to all that did receive him, to them he gave power to become sons of God. And if you will let him mess up your system, I guarantee he can be a more powerful Savior. He'll rearrange your life. This storm is moving in. It's a powerful, powerful storm, but it's also a productive storm. It's disruptive, but it's productive. It accomplishes things. It does some powerful things. And you see this, if we can go to that passage, I think it's verse 3, where he says that his glory covered the heavens. Now you have to remember, he said that this storm, God, came from Paran and Taman and Mount Paran. That's located south and east of Israel, meaning coming from the desert. So the kind of storm, God doesn't always come from where you expect him to come from. Sometimes he'll come into the dry places of your life because it's the dry places of your life that need him, that need the water, the living water that he wants to pour out. So just because you're dry today or feeling dry doesn't disqualify you from God. Actually, it makes you a perfect candidate to come before him. He loves to create streams in a desert. He loves to pour out water in the desert. And when he does, he says that his glory, right here, his glory covers the heavens. Now, we know today what Habakkuk could not have known, but prophetically, Habakkuk used the word glory because glory also means weight. And clouds, dark clouds, are heavy. There's a particular weight to them. In fact, the weight of the cloud is directly proportionate to the volume of the rain that's about to fall down. And so if we have a God who is very glorious, we have a God who is very heavy, so to speak. Very dark clouds, very much full of life. But how did that cloud get full? Scientifically, we know what Habakkuk could not have known, that invisibly, in the desert, there's moisture. I'm not a professor, I'm a pastor, so I don't really know the correct term. The Lord just moved in this place. Whew. There's there's moisture rising. You can't see it, but like little cactuses, they're letting off some moisture. Little plants and stuff, they're letting off moisture. All that moisture is rising to the atmosphere. It's collecting. And then as it collects and coalesces, it forms clouds. And as more moisture rises, the cloud gets thicker and thicker. These storms, which come from the desert, in this region, they only happen about once or twice a year because honestly, there's not that much moisture. So over time, over several days, 120 degrees out there in the desert, over time, over several days, moisture is rising and rising and rising. And as it's rising, it begins to coalesce above the area. And there's dark clouds. And one thing we know now about wherever there's dark clouds, there has been in the past a lot of moisture rising. And I'll tell you this, wherever there is the glory of God over a church, there have been in the past for weeks, months, years, decades sometimes, invisible prayer warriors offering up prayer, offering praise, offering worship. I'm not just talking about the guys up here on the stage. I mean in homes and in living rooms and in bedrooms and across the way and throughout the week, and in small groups, and in staff meetings. We used to come in here every week. I don't know if you guys still do, but the staff used to come in here and walk around and pray. I'm telling you, nothing just happens. Anytime you see the Holy Spirit hovering over a place, the glory of God hovering over a place, there have been invisible devotion, invisible fasting, invisible prayer, Anytime you see somebody come down to the front and give their life to Jesus, that's wonderful. And oh, look what God did. Yes, but there was 10 years of a grandmother praying for that particular individual. There was invisible moisture being lifted to the heavens on that behalf. In other words, God's glory isn't just something that comes down from heaven and hovers over a place. It's something that literally comes up. It's something that, right, there's this symbiotic nature between the heaven and the earth in this scenario. And so the clouds gather as the moisture rises. And when the cloud gets to a certain fullness, it gets heavy enough, then it starts turning into raindrops. And that rain is what the psalmist says is praise. The sound of the glory of God coming back down on his people. In other words, you might be praying right now for something that is going to be poured out 10 years from now. You might be walking around praying for a campus right now that's going to experience revival 15 years from now. But every prayer counts and every moment counts. It all adds up. And what he's saying is it gets heavy and then it starts raining. And the praise of God is not just something we do, that we sing, we tell God something. It's something we receive. We receive water in a dry and thirsty land that has no water, receives water. And then he says that after the rain, there's this power that is hidden. We know now that electricity, or the electrical current within the systems known as lightning, happens when one raindrop is formed. It gives off a certain amount, a little bit of electricity. Once again, I'm not a professor, I don't know. It gives off a little bit of electricity, all right? And well, that's true of one, but if you get 10 million of them together, the charge starts jumping from one drop to another drop to another drop to another drop to another drop, which is why it's so important that even when you're watching online, that you do not allow the enemy to disconnect you. Because one drop on its own doesn't have very much power. But if you really want to receive the power of God, you must come into Christian community, because my praise will activate your praise, will activate his praise, will activate her praise. That as we gather together, whether in person or online or in small groups or just meeting outside with people, you cannot be a drop by yourself. You have to come along with other drops. You gotta get along with some other drippy Christians that are allowing themselves to be poured out for the glory of God. And this is why the New Testament says, if anyone is sick among you, let him come, let the elders lay hands on him, because power is transmitted horizontally. Not just vertically. It's not just something that God zaps you with. God will zap you, but he'll zap you when you're standing next to somebody else who's also being zapped. This is why worship is so important. Would you just stand with me right now? Let's just spend just a moment right now. Because what happens is we get very utilitarian with God. And we say, God, I need this and this and this and this. And really what you need is you need to be within the presence of God, under the cloud of God, connected with other people that are also in the presence of God. And then the power of God just moves like this, from one person to another. And healing happens from one person to another. And transformation happens. And bondages are broken from one person to another. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. Why don't you just spend the 30 seconds just lifting up some praise to him right now, just elevating him right now, worshiping him right now, placing him at the highest place. You don't need words to a song or a guitar. Just go ahead and just begin to lift up your voice. Get some moisture in the atmosphere. Let it rise in this place. Father, we love you. We thank you. There's no one like you. We put you at the highest place. You have the greatest capacity in my life. You are the maintainer of my days. You are the maintainer of my life. You are the sustainer of my life. We look to you, Lord. We glorify you. We glory in you. We magnify you, meaning we put weight on you. And Lord, right now, as we lift up our hands and as we focus on you and as we worship you, God, would you send your power connecting between us, between each other? Would you break age-old issues? Would you break age-old bondages and attitudes and addictions in this place? Everyone who is sick, everybody who's physically sick, online or in person, we speak healing over them in the name name of Jesus, that the power, you don't need to come down and get prayer specifically. If you are next to the power, you receive power. And may they receive the power of God filling their body right now, dealing with cancer, dealing with depression, dealing with anxiety, dealing with age-old issues, dealing with alcoholism, dealing with drug addiction. Lord, would you come in and deal with our anger, deal with our selfishness, deal with sexual perversion, Lord, and addictions. Lord, would you let your power flow through this place and do what you want to do. You are the storm. You are unstoppable. You are unpredictable, and you are unpenitent. You are unrelenting. Nobody tells you what to do. You don't have to get permission from anybody. Within your presence, anything is possible. Anything can happen because you are God Almighty. You have no restrictions or limitations. You have no term limits. You are God by yourself. We stand under your glory. We stretch out our arms to receive everything you have for us. In Jesus' name.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Could you just sing that?
Who can stop the Lord